Carbon told him about the thermal imager and his own residence down the street. He even told him about the 5-digit number written in Braille, but he instructed him not to mess with it for now. Then he shared with March that he was on his way to the agency's deputy director's house to work out the investigation from that end. Marsh agreed to handle it as a burglary on a timeshare, mixed with a hate crime against a Canadian named Malveo. As Corbin and Marsh talked, the detective admitted that he liked the idea of coordinating an investigation with the CIA, where he would play the fumbling detective, when all the while he was in charge and privy to all of the details. And because Corbin had been around the block a time or two, Corbin would know how the agency would want to keep the situation civil. Fairchild will be isolated now that he has crossed the line, and you will even receive a commendation for cracking the case of a corrupt agent, Corbin said, slapping Marsh on the back. The two exchanged contact information before Corbin sped away to begin his own hunt. His heart ached for his two girls, the two he loved so much. Then, he briefly gave in to doubt. He wondered if God was even watching, or maybe he was busy elsewhere. Was God allowing this for some reason? Corbin saw enough suffering in the world to know that things happened to good people, even to the faithful. But it was always harder to see God's purpose in difficult situations when it was personal. As Corbin sped to Virginia, he wept and prayed. What cunning or unimaginable things would he have to do to get his wife and daughter back?